spend some time together in prayer this morning. And as we do, I'm going to give times for you to pray for different people that come to your heart and mind, both silently and out loud. And it'll make sense when that time comes. But please join in prayer with me right now. Let's pray together. Risen and reigning Lord, truly you are a high priest who has passed through the heavens. Truly you were tested as we are, and yet were without sin. With boldness we approach your throne this Easter morning, deeply assured of your mercy and your grace in our time of need. Your rising and your reigning give hope to your people. May all who live without hope today taste and see that you are good. Your rising and your reigning call us, your people, to testify to your goodness. Equip each of us here today to be bold witnesses of Easter news in our homes, in our neighborhoods, at our places of work, at our school, with our friends. Your rising and your reigning call all the nations of the world to stop their scheming and to seek your peace. May your Holy Spirit convict all people to submit to your rule and to pursue true peace. Your rising and your reigning call each of us here to turn from the path of death to the path of obedience and life. Hear us as we pray now and as we lift up in silence the names of anyone we know who have turned away from you. I invite you now to lift up those names. Anyone who comes to your mind, to your heart, people who have turned away from Jesus, people who have turned away from God. Pray for them this Easter morning. Lord, as we pray for those who have turned away from you, we also pray for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to strengthen our resolve this morning and to help us live as people of light and as life. Your rising and your reigning bring life and light and healing. So we pray that all who suffer this morning or who are in the valley of the shadow of death and disease, that they would know your healing presence this morning. Hear us as we pray for and lift up the names of we know who are either sick or who are grieving today. I invite you to say their names out loud. People you know who are sick or who are grieving today. We lift them up and we We ask that you bring healing, you bring comfort to them today. You're rising and you're reigning. Our first fruits of all that is to come. Justice, joy, and peace. Father, we pray that these marks of your kingdom would come and that they would come quickly and fill our hearts and lives and fill our neighborhoods and our communities. That they would fill the earth. May we who are gathered here, your Easter people, may we never fail to bless and thank you for your immeasurable love and your sure promises. Now, Lord, as we reflect on your word and your resurrection story and the implications of that for our heart and lives today, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and that you would change our lives by it. All praise to you, risen Jesus Christ, who with the Father and the Spirit live in perfect communion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Happy Easter to you, everyone. Happy Easter to you. As I've been thinking about this Easter message, there's people that have been on my heart and been on my mind, people that I've been talking with and been conversing with over these past couple weeks, and the conversations that I've had have shaped what I want to share with you this morning as we look on this resurrection story, as we reflect on it and its implications for our lives. The resurrection is central to the Christian faith. It's central to who we are as a people of God. People of God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we are celebrating today, it changes everything. Everything about who we are. Why has it changed everything? Why does it change everything? One of the reasons that the resurrection changes everything is because on account of the resurrection, you and I, we have peace when it comes to our past. The resurrection gives us peace in regards to our past. Through the resurrection, Jesus Christ has overcome our sin and its effects. The wages of sin is death, Paul says. And the resurrection trumps death. It trumps the wages of sin. It trumps the effects of sin that continue to haunt and burden us if we don't deal with them or address them appropriately. Some of us here this Easter morning, I know, we need peace when it comes to our past. We do. We need peace when it comes to our past. We need peace for things that we've done. We need peace for things that we've left undone. We need peace for things that have been done to us. Some of us here, we've cheated, we've lied, we've stolen, and we've failed. Some of us here have ignored or forgotten or we've overlooked. Some of us here have been abandoned or rejected or betrayed or deceived or falsely accused. And as a result of all these things, you and I, we need peace. John MacArthur says, what we need most, the kind of peace that we really want, is we want a peace that deals with the past, one where no strings of conscience dipped into the poison of past sins tear at them and torture them hour by hour. We need a peace that is able to take those things away. And the question is, where can we find that? Where can we find such a peace? And the answer is only in Jesus' death and resurrection. Only through the resurrection can we find that peace. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 4. The good news for us is that on account of the resurrection, we receive justification. Listen to what Paul says. He says, the words that was credited to him were not written just for Abraham alone, but they were also written for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. They were written for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He, that is Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for what? For our justification. Are you familiar with this word, justification? To justify is to declare righteous. It's to make one right with God. Justification is God's declaring those who receive Christ to be righteous. And it's based on what Christ's righteousness, that righteousness being imputed to us on account of those who receive Christ and his blessings. Our righteousness, our peace, it comes from placing our faith in the finished work of Jesus, in his death and his resurrection. His sacrifice, it covers our sins, the sins of our past. And it allows God to see us as perfect and unblemished. Because as believers, we are in Christ, God sees Christ's own righteousness when he looks at us. What Jesus done meets God's demands for perfection. Thus, he declares you and me righteous. He justifies us. Paul says Jesus has been raised from the dead for this purpose, for our justification. And as a result, you and I were able to receive forgiveness. We're able to receive forgiveness for the things of the past. They're wiped clean. Sue Augustine, a Christian author, says, one of the greatest things about life is that you and I, we can start over. With God, there are always new beginnings and second chances. He specializes in giving people fresh starts, she says. While you may feel overwhelmed at times and held back by painful recollections, haunting fears, remorse, shame, or guilt, God's power in your present life is not limited by what took place in your past. When you are governed and manipulated by painful memories, you allow the past to control your future. But when you choose to give God the controls, he can do amazing things with the rest of your life. You can start now and have a brand new ending. The good news for us this Easter is that Jesus' resurrection, it provides us peace when it comes to our past. But in addition to this, the resurrection also provides us with power for our present. Power to live for Christ today. On account of Jesus' resurrection, new life is available for you, and it's available for me. For others of us here this morning, the past isn't our problem. It's the here and now. It's the present. We long for something to be different in our life. We long for something to change. But we're stuck. We're stalled. We're frustrated. We desire something different, but we can't seem to find it. A few weeks ago, I was talking with someone who longed for their life to be different. Their work life, their family life, their social life, their financial life. It was clear that they wanted something different. But as the conversation progressed, I soon learned that they were looking in the wrong places for the changes that they desired. Instead of looking to Jesus and the power of the resurrection as the source of the new life that they desperately wanted, they were trying to make changes in their own strength and in their own power. Often simply by just trying harder, by putting the axe to the grinding wheel, so to speak, or by pulling up their bootstraps and I'm going to do it. Can you relate? Am I the only one who's ever tried to do things that way? Because Jesus has overcome sin and death, we are able to live differently today. we are able to live in the power of Christ. We are able to live for Jesus Christ today. Paul talks about us being able to live in the power of Christ in Romans 6. Listen to what Paul writes. He says this. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means," he says. "We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were also baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that," right, now listen to this, "in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life today. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in the resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to it. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives, he now lives to God. So in the same way," Paul says, "count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under law but are under grace." Paul says, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life today. Those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. So how do you and I do that? How do we live a life for Christ? The answer is in verse 13. Paul says, we live that life by offering ourselves to Jesus. The word that Paul uses here means to place beside, to present, to stand by, or to appear. Paul says new life occurs when we take our work life, when we take our family life, when we take our social life, when we take our financial life, or whatever other parts of our life we desire to see made new, and we place them beside. We present them to. We offer them to Jesus Christ and allow his resurrection power to make them new. We take them and we bring them close. We offer them to him. Paul says new life occurs when we place our hearts and our lives next to Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And we allow him and his power to speak into them, when we allow his will and his instruction to shape and to form who we are, what we think, right? And what we do and what we say. New life occurs when we invite the power of Christ to change our present. I love how Eugene Peterson translates this verse in the Message. Listen to how he says this. He says, throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead. Throw yourself wholeheartedly and full time into God's way of doing things. Sin, it can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. So he says, throw yourself into that. His power for your present. The resurrection, it changes our past. It gives us peace with regards to our past. The resurrection changes our present. It gives us power when it comes to our present. But it also provides us a promise. It provides us a promise for what is to come for our future. For some of us here this morning, the past or the present is not weighing on our heart heavy. It's the future. It's the future that we're worried about. The great unknown. What's to come? What's going to happen? We worry about death. Our anxiety and our fear comes as a result of what's ahead. What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to our kids? What's going to happen as I age? Going to happen when I die? And Paul says to us that if Christ hasn't been raised, if the resurrection didn't happen, if Easter never ever happened, he says in 1 Corinthians 15 that you better worry. You better be anxious. You better be freaking out. And why is that? Paul says because if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, our preaching is useless and your faith is also useless. More than that, if Christ hasn't been raised, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that He has raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised, Paul says. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, those who have died already, they too are lost. And if only for this life we have hope in Christ, Paul says we are of all people most be pitied. As you look at those verses up on the screen, do you notice the centrality of the resurrection in them? Can you see it there? Without the resurrection of Christ, what I'm doing right now, useless. Pointless. Right? We should be somewhere else. Without the resurrection, testimony, any spoken verbal testimony, useless. It's useless. Without the resurrection, Paul says, our faith is useless. It's futile. Without the resurrection, you and I were still in our sins. No peace. Without the resurrection, if this life is all that we have, pity. That's what we should expect. That's what we should deserve. We're to be pitied because our hope is only in the here and the now. After the Good Friday service, my daughter Megan said, Dad, you got to watch a movie with me. You got to watch a movie. What movie is that, Megan? It's the movie God Is Not Dead. Has anyone seen the movie God Is Not Dead? Hey, one of the scenes in the movie, there's a reporter there who's, she interviews people about their faith, and she is not a person of faith. She gets cancer. I'm not going to spoil it at all, but in her interviews, she's going up to a group of believers, and she says, you really believe all this stuff? And they say to her, yeah, we do. We put our hope in it. That's where our hope is. Our hope is in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And she doesn't make sense to her. Then they ask her a question. She's getting on them because their hope is in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Then they flip it to her and they say, well, where is your hope? Where is your hope? She didn't have a very good answer. She didn't have an answer at all as an unbeliever. Without the resurrection, there's not much hope for what is to come. But the good news that Paul goes on to say is this. He says, the good news is this: Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep for sin's death came through a man. The resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made what? Alive. As in Adam all die, in Christ all will be made alive. Right? Just as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Paul says Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our own resurrection. Therefore, we do not have to be anxious. We do not have to worry. We do not have to have fear about what is to come. No fear in death. We just sang about this in Christ alone. Verse 4, do you remember those lyrics? No guilt in life, no what? No fear in death. For this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus what? He commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can what? Can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, where do we stand? In the power of Christ, right? In the power of the resurrection. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear what's to come. God gives us victory through Jesus Christ, Paul says. Some of us went on a walk this morning before breakfast, and we read from John 11 where Jesus says this. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. People of God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it changes everything. It gives us peace with regards to our past. It gives us power. Power for our present. And it gives us a promise. It gives us a promise for the future. Jesus' resurrection, it changes all three things. Every part of who we are. It changes all these things for each and every one who believes. So I ask you, do you believe in Him this morning? Do you believe in His resurrection for you and for your life? Have you received the risen Christ into your heart, into your life, into your family, into your marriage, into your work, into your education, into your social networks, whether in person or online? Has Christ's resurrection invaded all these places? My prayer for you is, I hope, yes, 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 and yes. Then this morning, I want us to just spend some time celebrating who Jesus is and what He's done. I want us to celebrate this truth of the resurrection, and the peace from our past, the power of our present, and the promise for our future. We're sitting around tables or we're sitting nearby. I want you to circle up this morning, and I want you just to talk about how the resurrection has changed in your life. What impact is it having on who you are? Share with your group for a little bit. How has God given you maybe peace with regards to your past? How has He given you a power for your present? How has He given you a promise for what is to come? And if you don't feel comfortable talking, just listen. You can punt, you can pass, that's fine. But take some time. If you need a coffee refresh or some juice, get that. But let's take 5 minutes or so and let's talk about, let's celebrate. Take some time and let's give testimony for what God has done, what He is doing, and what is going to do. The resurrection, it changes everything, people.